So we got to the very last line, and then the Vav Amud Beis, and we're discussing the Machlokas Rabba and Rav Chisda regards to cooking Yontif to Chol. So Rav Chisda held if one cooks on Yontif for the purpose of Chol, one gets Malkos, and Rabba thought, no, you don't get Malkos for cooking from Yontif to Chol. The Machlokas was, whether you say Hoel that Umikloi Le Orchim Chazile. In other words, do we think there's potential that guests may come in, and since guests may come in Yontif, so therefore you're cooking for a purpose of Yontif itself, and that's how Rabba holds, and therefore no Malkos. Rav Chisda held, no, we don't say such a hoyo, and therefore, since you're cooking for the purpose of chol, regardless of if people may come or not, one gets malchus. And then they asked, according to Rav Chisda, how then is one allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos? It can't because Erev Tavshilin. How could Erev Tavshilin, Din Derban, be Oker the Din Deraisa? If it's an Issa Deraisa to cook from one day to the next, how could Erev Tavshilin uproot that? So he said, no, even Rav Chisda agrees, the one's allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. That's entirely permitted, mid Deraisa. The only Issa is mi Yom Tov to chol. So once we say Yontif to Shabbos is permitted, why do you need Erev Tavshilin? Well, Midiraisa one's allowed to. So they said, so one shouldn't confuse. You might say, oh, since I could cook from Yontif to Shabbos, I'm also allowed to cook from Yontif to Chol. So they said, make an Erev Tavshilin. The Erev Tavshilin is going to serve as a hecker, as a reminder. And say, no, only when you make an Erev Tavshilin, only Yontif to Chol is permitted to be cooked. But from Yontif to Chol, one is not allowed to cook. So we see from Rav Chisda, you can cook on Yontif for the purpose of Shabbos. The Gemara is going to ask a question now. The very last line of Mem Vav Amud Beis says the Gemara, Isivei Lechem Apanim. When it comes to Lechem Apanim, the din is as follows. Nechal Tisha L'Asara U'L'Achad Asar. Turns out Lechem Apanim gets eaten either on the 9th day that it was baked, the 10th day, or the 11th day. How so? Lo pachas lo yoser, no less and no more. Within that range of 9 to 11 days, does the Lechem Apanim get eaten? Ketad, kedarko, when it's normal, a normal Shabbos, letisha, it gets eaten on 9 days. Nefa be'erev Shabbos, nechal b'Shabbos letisha. So you bake the Lechem Apanim erev Shabbos. And it doesn't get eaten on the next day, Shabbos. It stays on the Shulchan for at least a week, ends up being 9 days. And you eat it until the following Shabbos. So Friday is one day, you do all the math. It turns out the 9th day, it gets eaten. That's Kedarko. Chal Yom Tov Lios B'Erev Shabbos. Let's say it's Yontif falls out on Friday. So now you have to cook, you have to bake the Lechem Panim on Thursday. So what comes out is Nechal L'Shabbos L'Asar. So then you eat the next Shabbos, which turned out to be the 10th day. And then the third case is Shnei Yomim Tovim Shorash Hashanah, 2 day Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, specifically Nechal Shabbos L'Achad Asar. Turned out that the next Shabbos is the 11th day. So that's how we see from day 9 to day 11 is the range of eating Lechem Apanim. Says the Gemara, Lafish Eino Docha L'Asa Shabbos V'Las Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, the Brisa says, that we see that you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov itself, you can't bake on Yom Tov, and you can't bake on Shabbos either. Okay, so that's the din. Seems pretty straightforward. Says the Gemara, V'i Amris Tzorche Shabbos Nes and B'Yom Tov, Amaylo Dachi Yom Tov. If one were to contend that the purpose of Shabbos may be made on Yom Tov, meaning Rav Chisda said, Mikar Din Mid Deraisa, you can cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So why don't we say, when Yom Tov falls out on Friday, bake on Yom Tov on that Friday, and it'll turn out you're eating 9 days later. You should never have a case of 10 days or 11 days. You're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So again, if Sukkot falls out on a Friday, bake on Sukkot that Friday, and then you'll eat 9 days later on Shabbos. That's the kasha they ask the Rav Chisda. So Gemara answers, Amar Lei, Shvus Krova Hetiru, Shvus Rechoka Lo Hetiru. They only permitted a Shvus, this Din Derbanan, when it was a foreseeable, much closer type of Shvus for that very day or the next day, from Yom Tov to Shabbos, that's permitted. But to allow it for a whole week, 9 days, 10 days, that's not permitted. So that's how the Gemara answers this. So the Gemara says, is that really true? That only a shvus krova is permitted, but a shvus rechoka, a very distant shvus, is not permitted? So Amar Lei, Ul Rashbag rather, Damar Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Hasagan, Doche es Yom Tov, Veino Doche es Yom Tzom. Rabbi Shimon ben Hasagan says that one may actually bake on Yom Tov, but he may not bake on Yom Kippur. Tzomer's reference to Yom Kippur. Ma'ik Lameimer. Meaning, even if the Friday before is Sukkot, you're allowed to bake on that Sukkot that day, even though it's going to be a week later, even though it's going to be a Shvus Rechoka, one's allowed to bake on Yontif to Shabbos. So we see even a Shvus Rechoka is permitted. So this is a kasha according to Rav Chisda. So says the Gemara, Ma'ik Lameimer. So Baha Pligi, this is the very machlokus between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Tanakama, meaning Mar Savar Shvus Krova Hetiru Shvus Rechoka Lo Hetiru. The Tanakama holds you're not allowed to bake on Yom Tov. You are allowed to bake from one day to the next day, or that very day rather you are allowed to bake because that's a Shvus Krova. But Shvus Rechoka, Chacham don't allow. That's the opinion of Chisser. Chisser is working within Tanakhama that Shvus Krov is permitted, not Shvus Rechoka. However, Mar Savar, meaning reference to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Askan, Savar Shvus Rechoka Nam Hitir. He's even more makely. He says, even a Shvus Rechoka, even a very distant Shvus, is permitted. So you can't bake from Friday, Sukkot, to 9 days later, to the purposes of Shabbos. So that's the Machokas, that's how Rav Chisda gets out of this. Now, a number of interesting things come out of this sugi here. You look at Rashi, five lines down from the top, Shnei Yomim Shal Rosh Hashanah, he says, Chalu b'chamishi v'shishi. Turns out that Rosh Hashanah falls out on Thursday and Friday. It's a three-day yontif. Kagon shebo edim min ha-mincha ulamala. D'tana nogin osa yom kodesh ulamacha kodesh. If they come late, the edim come very late in the day, so the day when Rosh Hashanah may turn out to be, so the 30th day of Elul, it may be Rosh Hashanah, it may not be Rosh Hashanah, so you're supposed to keep that day Rosh Hashanah, because the edim may come before mincha, or not, so they said, just keep it as a day of Rosh Hashanah. So it turned out they came later in the day. So the day you kept as Rosh Hashanah wasn't really Rosh Hashanah, but you kept it that day anyways. They came after Mincha. So since they came after Mincha, the next day is going to be the real Rosh Hashanah. Turned out you kept 2 days in a row Rosh Hashanah. So then Rashi says, Nefa Beruvi, in this case, you bake on Wednesday, B'Shabbos, V'necha B'Shabbos Shniyah, L'Acharasar. So that's the math. 11 days later is Shabbos. V'hahu Shabbos, Lav Yom Tzomus. So you do the math now, what happens? So if Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, day one of Tishrei is Thursday, and then Friday is Beis Tishrei, Shabbos is Gimel, Tzom Gedalia. A week later, Shabbos is going to be Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, you're not going to eat on Yom Kippur. So how's that going to be? It says that the case is that Hahi Shabbos Lav Yom Tzomus. That next Shabbos obviously can't be Yom Kippur. No, what turns out is, when the second day we keep as Rosh Hashanah is really the first day of Tishrei. Different than what we do nowadays. Now we keep the first day Rosh Hashanah is Aleph, and then the second day is Beis. But in those days, when you kept the first day as Rosh Hashanah because you weren't sure if the Edom were coming or not, and the Edom ended up coming later, so what turns out is the next day is really Aleph Tishrei. So the first day of Rosh Hashanah is really Lamed Elul. Second day is Aleph Tishrei. That's how you do the math.
That's what we do by every other Rosh Chodesh.
Exactly.
Exactly,
right. Kedamrina and Shiloh hayu mekablan es edim lekadesh bo yom imkein abam kodem mincha, fine. Vinami alternately says, have a yom tzom, even though it might be Yom Kippur. Mati achalei l'orsa. You can eat it at the nighttime. You eat it after Yom Kippur is over. Because lechem apanim are eaten during the daytime and the nighttime. When it comes to kachrim, the night follows the day. Even though normally the lechem night precedes the day, comes to kachrim, night follows the day. So you end up eating it on the 11th day. That's what he says. Fine. V'shnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah dafkanak. Why does the Gemara give the example of a 2-day Rosh Hashanah, not an example of 2-day yomtiv? The bizman lechem apanim lo hayu shnei yomim tovim shel galus, because the times of lechem apanim, they did not keep 2 days of Yom Tov, they kept, but 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, they did keep. So sounds like, let's say it was not the Zman of Lechem Apanim, Shelo B'Zman HaMikdash. So it sounds like in Eretz Yisrael, they would keep 2 days Yom Tov. There's nothing to do, according to Rashi, it has nothing to do with the Zman HaMikdash or not. Nowadays, in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Lechem Apanim, they only keep 1 day Yom Tov. So how does Rashi imply here that you can? They would keep a 2-day yomtiv shelo b'zman mikdash in Eretz Yisrael. That's what Achronim asks. So some say ein hachanami. Rashi in fact argues on the rest of the Rishonim, and they bring another Ravid who seems to say the same thing. That those are the two Ravid and the Rashi actually hold that you would keep 2-day yomtiv in Eretz Yisrael shelo b'zman mikdash. And apparently some have the custom, some of the Hasidim is brought down, that they are knowing not to do any melacha, deraisa, befarhesia, on the second day of Yom Tov. That's the minhag. So according to that, it's based on this idea. I'm not sure if that was initial intentions, but the point they connected to, that it makes sense what they're doing in light of this Rashi, to be choshish for the Shitas Rashi, for the 2-day Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. The Mincha Shlomo, or Shlomo Zalman, says that no, the idea is as follows. Bizman HaMikdash, if one wanted to keep a 2-day yontif, it would be an Isser Bal Tosif. Shelo b'zman hamikdash, even though the custom is to keep a 1-day yontif in Eretz Yisrael, one is allowed to be machmir if he wants. But during b'zman hamikdash, b'zman lechem apanim, one is not allowed to. There's actually an Isser Bal Tosif to keep it. And then finally, Shelo Yaveh's answers as follows. 2-day yontif depended not on Eretz Yisrael, depended on where the shluchim, where the messengers reached. So there were certain places in Eretz Yisrael that the shluchim never got to. up north. I'm not sure exactly where those places were, but it's very possible to have a Tudei Yontif in Eretz Yisrael. So that's so Rashi isn't so crazy. So that's a few answers how to explain this very interesting Rashi. Now, in terms of Shvus Krova, Shvus Rechoka, that only Shvus Krova is permitted, not Shvus Krova, not Shvus Rechoka, rather. So the Achronim talk about a case of Amir La'akum. Amir La'akum is permitted b'makom mitzvah. The Shvus b'makom mitzvah is permitted, meaning you could tell an Akum, Amir La'akum itself is only din derabanan. You can tell him directly to do another Mlacha derabanan if it's for the purpose of a mitzvah, bris milah, whatever it might be. So the Achronim talk about this. When it's permitted, is it only permitted a Shvus Krova but also yom for that very day, or would one permit a shvus even recho a little further than one day? In other words, the Noda Behuda was once asked the following case: it was Yom Tif Erev Shabbos, and a lechi needed to be fixed. So, is one allowed to tell a goy to fix a lechi on Yom Tif for the purpose of the next day that the erev should be fixed for Shabbos? So he thought to say, Noda Behuda brought right from here that a shvus krov is only permitted but also yom for that very day. But from one day to the next day, that's not permitted. That's already considered a shvus rechoka, and he did not permit one to make this lechi. And the Kav HaChaim brings a raya from the Shulchan Aruch that seems to say otherwise. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, one can go on a tree on Shabbos to go get a shofar that may have got stuck up there. Normally you can't climb a tree, it's a shvus, you might break a branch, so one cannot climb the tree. But to get the shofar, the b'makom mitzvah, one can tell a goy, Amir La'akum, you could tell a goy to climb the tree, shvus, the shvus, but makom mitzvah, the shofar. Now we're talking about Shabbos here. We don't blow the shofar on Shabbos, so it must be a case where it's Shabbos, Erev Rosh Hashanah. You're getting it so you can have it for the next day, Rosh Hashanah. So they bring a ride from there. One can get it even for the very next day. It doesn't have to be dafka ba'osayom. The shvus krov is not defined by that very day. Now it seems that most posting would agree for a week later, that's already not permitted. But within a day or two, that's already considered shvus. So they bring these sugyas here as a raya for something more lemaisa in regards to Amir La'akum. Okay, so there's the Gemara further now. It's halfway down the daf. Meisiv Rav Meri has the following kasha. The shtei alechem, which was brought as part of the Karbanos on the Shavuos, Eino nechalos lo pachos mishnayim v'lo yosei al shlosha. It's no less than 2 days or 3 days. Either 2 or 3 days is when you eat the shtei alechem. Ketad. Nefos erev yomtif. It was baked Erev Shavuos. Ne'achalas Yom Tov l'shnayim. You eat it the very next day on Shavuos, so it was baked on day Erev, and eat it on the second day Shavuos. Okay, that makes sense. The Chal Yom Tov l'yos achar Shabbos, if Shavuos falls out on a Sunday, so then ne'achalas Yom Tov l'shlosha. You bake it Erev Shabbos, so Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, that's the third day. You eat it on Yom Tov the third day. The fish ain't lo docha lo Shabbos lo esa Yom Tov, because you can't be docha Shabbos nor Yom Tov. Now, even Amr Sercha Shabbos nesem Yom Tov. So now if we say that the purpose of Shabbos may be baked in Yom Tov, so hashta, the Shabbos be Yom Tov shari. Now that Shabbos is permitted in Yom Tov, meaning purpose of Shabbos can be baked in Yom Tov, the Yom Tov be Yom Tov mi bai. So why can't you bake Shnei Lechem on Yom Tov itself? Why do you have to bake the Shnei Lechem Erev Shavuos? Why not bake it on Shavuos on Yom Tov itself? Again, if Yom Tov could prepare for the next day of Shabbos, certainly it should be able to prepare for the day itself, according to Rav Chista. So Gemara says, no, shiny hoss, in that very case is different. Damar kro lachem, lachem lola gavoa. The pasuk says that you're allowed to, the heter ochel nefesh, permitted to bake and do food melachos on Yom Tov is only lachem for your purposes, but not lagavoa. This, for the karbanos of shelachem, is lagavoa. It's for the purpose of kachim. So therefore, for karbanos, therefore it's not permitted. Ul rashbag, damar mishum rabba shimon ben hasagan, doches Yom Tov. He who permits you to bake on Yom Tov. So, Ma'ik Lameimar, Savralak Abashal, Dam Lachem, Lachem Lo Nechem. He says, now, what's a Pasuk Lachem coming to do? The question is according to the Rashbag. So, how does he allow you to bake on Yom Tov for Yom Tov itself? The Pasuk says, Lachem, Lachem Lo Gavoa. You're not allowed to bake on Yom Tov for the purpose of Karbanos. He has a different drasha. He says, Lachem means Lachem Lo Nechem. You can bake for yourself to the exclusion of non-Jews. You cannot bake for, but you can bake legavoa. That's how Rabbi Shimon Gamliel learns it. Now, Lachem,
he was the one that said that what you could cook on Yom Tov for the next Yom Tov by the
Lechem upon him, right.
Lechem upon him?
Exactly.
Is that called legavoa?
No, in this case, apparently, in this case also, he seems to agree that you can even cook for Yom Tov on Shavuos as well. I think both cases it must be. Now, this halacha is pointed out that when the lach of lachem lola nachrim is halach l'mayis. So we do pask in that way. You can bake only for yourself, not for a non-Jew. It's a big issue. Included in this also is a mumar, even a Jew who's off the derech. However you define a mumar exactly, that too is going to be included, according to many poskim, in this din of lachem v'lola nachrim.
But it's not, there's no nachrim. If you have hoyol, so if we pass like are we passing like Rabba, who says, ain't no, do we pass like Rabba or Rav Chisda?
I think it's a large discussion, actually, how exactly it works. What do they say in the notes? Where does the Aim Mishpat bring? He passed like Rabba, ain't a loka, means we hold of hoyol.
We hold of hoyol.
So the question is, if you're only baking for exclusively,
figure out a case somehow. But otherwise, you could do it.
Since the hole probably would help out, right?
So maybe on a mice level, then on yontav that you're cooking, I don't have this problem, Moshe, but someone have an eved at their house, right? It helps whatever different things. So clearly, the mindset would be someone's cooking and cook a little bit extra to make sure that they're fed. It's part of the gig. A lot of people have that; they stay at their house. So how would we want to be able to do that?
So it can't be exclusively for them. Is this your riboy shurim? You can riboy shurim. That's a whole other sugya about adding a little bit more. But as we just said, that you're baking a lot. You don't want to have limited food for yourself and your guests. You bake a little bit more than you need to. And the leftovers end up going for the nachri. But you're not baking specifically and exclusively for them. You're baking for yourself and for your family and for your guests. And they get the leftovers. But it's another thing to make a special food for them. That's already a different story.
But they would be able to make. They're allowed to make their own thing, right?
They could.
Assuming it's not an Indian Mara site.
There, it's a larger discussion of Bishul Akum, depending on the pots and other stuff, and also even cooking, doing lacha in one's own house, in a Jewish house, is very complicated. Also, whether they really have to do cooking for themselves on Yom Tov or Shabbos. I mean, if it's Yom Tov where you're allowed to cook for yourself, so they could cook for themselves. Any lacha you can do, they can do also. But then, let's say on Shabbos, for example, so then it's a little more complicated. Even Yom Tov might be complicated turning the fire on if they turn the fire on on their own. Not a pashut thing.
And in the same sugya, what if you have a relative who's not religious on Yom Tov is cooking for himself?
Yeah, that it creates a lot of issues. Right. Not simple. Okay, says the Gemara now, five lines from the bottom. Shalach le Rav Chisda Rabba. Rav Chisda sent over to Rabba b'yad Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. He sent a message to his bar pluk Rabba through the messenger here. Mi amrinan hoil, do we really say hoil? Rabba again said hoil. He said you don't get malchus if you cook from Yom Tov to Chol. You do not get malchus because we say hoil. It's possible that guests may come. So if Chista says, do we really say hoil? V'hotanami, the Mishnah says as follows, the Mishnah in Makos, I believe. The Mishnah says, Yesh chorish telem echad. Person is going to be plowing some cattle, some animals. The chayavim aleh mishum shmona lav. It's very possible to be over eight different isurim. What are them? Hachorish b'shor b'chamer. You are using two different animals to plow, an ox and a donkey, and that's an isur of klaim in terms of plowing with two different animals. The hein mukdashim happens to be they are hekdesh animals, so it's an isur to do any avoda with something that is hekdesh. Rashi quotes the pasuk of kachur mizbeach mishum lo savod b'vchor sharcha. You can't do any avoda with a bochor, which is kachur, and they learn from there as well to all other kachur. And then he says the kalayim b'karim happens to be what you're plowing is kalayim b'karim. You have grapes and wheat you're crossbreeding. That's going to be yet another lav. And then the Shvius, it's going to be during the Shemitah year where you can't do any avoda. Says Rashi, quickly, we'll just stop here for a moment. Rashi, the top line, says, Shvius, de over mishum sardcha lo sizra, you can't plant any food in your field during Shvius. The Choresh, plowing, your case of plowing here, is a tolda de zareya. It's a second level mlacha under the category of zareya. Kigon Choresh chasos zazria. Now, it can't be talking about classic Choresh because Choresh itself is its own melacha. The 39 melachas, Choresh and Zariah, two different ones. So it's a type of Choresh where Rashi says it's Choresh lechasos zazria. You're plowing it to cover up the zria. Gemara and Shabbos talks about two different types of Choresha. So one of them is, one is plowing the ground to soften the ground. The other one is after you've planted the seeds, then you would plow a second time to cover up the seeds to help them grow. So this type of Choresha, the second type of Choresha, plowing to cover, is really a type of Zariah. So the Kashi asking Rashi is, Rava holds that Rava holds in the Moed Katan, that Beis and Beis, that you're only not the only thing that's asr and shvius are avos melachos, but told us the melachos are permitted, only avos are. So Rashi says that this type of choresh is a told the dezareya, it should not be asr and shvius. Why does Rashi say it's asr and shvius? So a number of answers are given. The Chazon Ish has a very simple answer. He says tolda, this is very Chazon Ish like. Tolda is not the tolda as we know it, tolda versus avos. It's tolda meaning the totsa, the outcome. It's a choresh where the result is, the tolda, the outcome is a zareya. That's what it means. But this type of charisha is in fact a real av of zareya. It's not a tolda as we know it, a tolda versus an av. It's a tolda having a toelas, a result, a totsa of zareya. That's how the Chazon Ish reads this Rashi, and not, therefore not a kasha.
This seems more like a finishing touch, because this type of choresh, I forgot the cleat that's used, but basically after it's softened the ground, It continues. It's a pin that rolls, mm-hmm. and it covers up the dirt again. So I would think like that's what finishes the malacha,
and therefore it would be zareya.
Yeah,
right. That's what's out. But the issue of the definition of choresh and Hilchos Shabbos is anything that softens the ground, helps the ground for planting. Mm-hmm. So it's helping. It's doing two things. You're softening the ground at the same time. You're also helping it plant. And it's more like zareya on one hand, and it's both of them really in one.
No, but originally when Rabbi was explaining what it is, we said it's not the same as a regular softening. In this particular instance, which is the cleat that's used, it's more of it finishes the softening process and it covers everything up. It's kind of like you're covering, putting like something on top of a layer.
But even the covering would have an element of softening as well. Like with that pin, as you're rolling over with that pin, it also softens the ground. So it's a machlokas in the Rishonim and Shabbos whether choresh is defined by simply softening the ground or it's there to help prepare for the zriah. That's I think Rashi says preparing for zriah. Others say Rabbeinu Chananel says softening the ground. So when you're rolling the pin over, those two things are being accomplished. You're helping the zriah. You're also helping it soften the ground even further, I would imagine. So that's probably the difficulty in defining this type of malacha. So then the Gemara says, so that's Shavuos. And then the next thing is B'yomtiv. We're talking about a case of Yomtiv, so that's yet another lav of doing Melech on Yomtiv. And it's a Kohen and a Nazir who's a Beis HaTumah, and he's standing in a Beis Kvaros, a place where there's Tumah. A Kohen can't be in a place of a Beis Kvaros, neither can a Nazir. So putting all those things together turns out to be 8 different lavim. Fine, so what's the Kasha? Now, V'i Amrina Nehoyel Acharisha Lo L'chayev. So, I mean, Hoyel, if you say the concept of Hoyel, Acharisha Lo L'chayev, Ho. The chazal, the kisei dam tzipor. Maybe the plowing, softening up the dirt, will be very helpful. Maybe someone's going to shech the bird on yomtiv here, and you'll need it to do kisei dam. The din of kisei dam applies to chayos and ofos, to wild animals, not to behemoths, to wild animals, and to a bird. So maybe this is a hoel, the potential that it might come that you need the kisei dam. So it wouldn't be a melacha of charisha. That's the Gemara suggests. So if you're going to say hoel everywhere, say hoel here as well. So Amar Papa Bar Shmuel Ba'avonim Mirkuzalos. So talking about types of rocks that are not fit for using, it's not soft enough, it's rocks, it's not dirt. You can't use it for Kisei Dam. So therefore Kisei Dam is not a possibility. Mara says, what do you mean? We're use Lakoshan. So you could just grind them up, take the rocks, crush them, and make them to dirt, and then use them. Mara says, V'kisisha B'yomtav Mishari. Are you allowed to do Kisisha? You could do Melech of Tochen. Are you allowed to grind things up on Yomtav? That's not permitted. Ru'uyus lekoshon kalachayad. No, you can grind it in a shinoi type of way, and shinoi type of way would only be a shvus, so you could do such, it wouldn't be an issue of malchus. It would not generate an iser deraisa. So since there's a way to use its charisha in a mutter way, meaning you could grind it through a shvus, and the shvus would not be a violation of iser deraisa no malchus, so therefore you could create this dirt, and therefore using v'kisar dam through hoil. Says Gemara, but sunma, it's really heavy, hard rocks and stones, which are not really able to be ground into dirt. So if we're talking about sunma, these rocks and boulders, sunma barzria. So we just said before, all the melachas that are taking place are plowing for the purpose of planting. And so if you have a whole field of boulders, so you can't plant in a place of boulders. So Gemara says, no, sunma milmala, top layers, boulders. We've offered tichoch milmata and this soft dirt below. So you're trying to rip up the boulders, and you're plowing the boulders to try to bring up the soft dirt underneath. So that soft dirt is roi l'kisay adam. So Gemara says, "V'tepli mishum offered tichoch." So once you've offered tichoch, and say you should not be over the Isser Malach of Charish, since you are uprooting all this soft dirt below, and that soft dirt below is Roy the Kisei Dam, so you should say Ha'ol, and you're over the Isser Deraisa of Charisha. So El Amar Mar by Ravashi, Bittini is talking about some type of dirt here. Rashi says, Tit Lachu Bala, a very soft, liquidy type of mud. Says Gemara, Bittini Bar Zriahu. So you can't plant in mud. We're talking about things that are Roy Lazria. Says Gemara, Bimasunta, which Rashi says, Eretz Lacha, a very moist ground. Ru'uy Lazria, you can plant in this ground. It's moist enough to plant in it. However, it's too moist to use it for dirt. In Bala culture, if you try to chop up, make a little piece of dirt for kisodam, midabekas v'nigabelas, it becomes too liquidy, it becomes too muddy to use for kisodam. So it's this again. They found this type of ground where you can plant in it, but it's too wet to use for kisay hadam. So that's this whole case, and that's how they get out of the problem. How Rabba gets out of the problem of Hoyo. So one of the interesting things here that come up in this case of eight different lavim, two of the lavim is kalayim, planting and plowing kalayim on Yom Tov. So the Achronim ask as follows: that kalayim, creating kalayim is an iser kilkel. It's makalka. By me taking chita, me taking geffen and planting them together, it becomes asher b'hana, and it's makalka. I can't get any hana from it. It's makalka, and makalka and yantif is pater. So why am I going to be over in any iser and yantif here if it's makalka? That's what the Achronim ask. The Achronim give two different answers. If Yonas and Aibshit says, they're talking about a case of shvius. Again, one of the things also, it's shvius. Shvius, the kark is hefker. When a kark is hefker, a person has no ownership over it. A person is not allowed to make something that ain't davar she'eino shelo. He cannot make asr b'ana. So since I don't own my land, by me planting kalayim, there's no isr na, so nothing has happened. There's no kilkel in this case. You're right, on a regular yomtiv, planting kalayim would not be asr because it would be makalkel, but it happens to be during shvius. And during shvius, since I do not own it, it's not going to be asr b'ana, and therefore there will be no kilkel. That's what Yonasan Aibshit. So the Minchas Chinuch, however, answers differently, and he says, no, we define kilkel by the objective view, the view of the world. Meaning, it comes to the rest of the world, non-Jewish world at least, kalayim, putting grapes and chita together, that's not asr b'ana. For them, that's a tikkun. That's making, however it tastes, it makes it better perhaps. So for them, that's actually a tikkun. So we use that definition and say, even though for us it happens to be asr b'ana, because the halacha tells us, the Torah tells us, it's asr b'ana, but objectively happens to be a tikkun, not a makalkel. And therefore, since it's a tikkun objectively, it will not be considered a p'tur makalkel. Okay, the Gemara asks yet another question. Eisive, around 10 lines down. Eisive, Abaye. Ha'mevasha gid hanasha b'chalav. You are cooking the gid, hanasha, which is meat, of course, with milk. V'yamtif. V'ochlo, and then you eat it. Loke chamesh. You get a total of five sets of lashes doing this. How? Loke mishum mevasha gid b'yamtif. One is a bishal yamtif. V'loke mishum ochel gid hanasha. Second one for eating the gid hanasha. That's an eser deraisa. V'loka mishum mevasha basa b'chalav. V'loka mishum ochel basa b'chalav. And v'loka mishum havara. And the fifth one is that you are you're making a fire on Yantif. Now, v'i amrinan hoel, if you say this concept of hoel, Rabbah, a havara lo l'chayv, you shouldn't be chayv on mavir either, hold the chazir le'it tzorach. Since havara, turn the fire on, it can be used for the purpose of Yantif, tzorach, so certainly, so you should also be able to use it for a non-purpose for the fire use in this case. Even though you end up baking bas b'chalav and gid nasha, all things that are not litzorcho, since you can use the fire for starting litzorcho, that should be a heter and not mechayv yumalkos for burning. So Amar Lai, the response is apik havara, remove havara. Havara is actually not the fifth one on the list. V'ayil gid hanasha, and you should include gid hanasha shel nevela. We're not talking about gid hanasha of a kosher animal, but a gid hanasha of a nevela, an animal that wasn't shechted properly, and that's the fifth lav. So Gemara says, V'hatani Rabbi Chiya, doesn't Rabbi Chiya say, Lokin, the malchus we're talking about is Lokin shein al chilasa, v'shalosh al bishulo. Two of the malchus are for eating, and three of them are for baking. Now V'ii says, shalosh al achil. Now according, if now you're going to replace Havar, which was once for cooking, replaced that with eating gid hanasha, it turns out that v'isa shalosh al achilasa mibaylei. It should be three for eating and two for baking, not three for baking, two for eating. Because again, the first case was, the way it was initially presented to us, the three ones for baking was baking bishul b'yamtif, bishul basa b'chalav, and then Havara. Those were the three baking ones. Now we removed Havara and replaced it with eating Nevela. So it ended up being three Achila, not three Bishul. So that's the Kasha according to that. So the Gemara says, no. Ella, apik Havara, remove Havara, va'ayl Atim Muksa. Include Atim Muksa, which is going to be a type of Bishul, Mevashel, wood that's Muksa, wood that seemingly fell on Yantif itself. So that's going to be Muksa, it had no Hachana to it. And that's going to be the fifth set of Malka. So this is a very famous Gemara, well-known Gemara. Gemara says, Muksa Daraisahi? You're going to get lashes for Muksa? The Gemara says, yes. Muksa is not Daraisa. Muksa is clearly Darabanan. There's a big machlok is what exactly the reasons are. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about, is it a concern that maybe it's Chilul Shabbos in general? It concerns specifically for Hotzah here. The Gemara here says that Muksa is actually an Issa Daraisa. Dichsiv, and brings a pasuk. V'hayob b'yom hashishi, in the sixth day, v'achinu eisa sheyaviu, and you're supposed to prepare everything Erev Shabbos. And that's the halacha, that's the mitzvah, that's the Issa Daraisa. V'asarasa, the warning is mehacha, milo sase kamlacha. You cannot do any mlacha on Shabbos. So that's, there we have it. Muksa is a din deraisa. So they might end up rejecting it. I don't want to go further because it goes well into the next daf. But in this havmina, at least, I want to point two last things out. But in this havmina, what would be the malacha deraisa that the Gemara actually thinks? Which category of muksa would this fall under? It can't be a 40th malacha. The Gemara would have known it's against the Mishnah in Shabbos, which tells us there are only 39 malachas. Which malacha would it fall under? So my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig, he liked to prove from other Rashi's and in the Beitza, I remember, that the Mlacha of Muksa would fall under the category of Makkah B'Patish. Makkah B'Patish is the generic type of Mlacha that kind of fits into any category, so Muksa would have fell under that category of Makkah B'Patish. Now the Afika Yam, in regards to Muksa, he has a following Chakira. At what point is a person over the Isser Muksa? Are you over the Isser Muksa once you start using that those materials to prepare something? Or are you over the Isser Muksa once you start using the Muksa object? That's the Chakira Afika Yam. Again, is it the time of preparation of using the Muksa to prepare, or when you actually use it? So he brings a ride from the Rashi here. Rashi says, V'ayil atse Muksa. He says, Dahasha lekel meimer hoil. Dimidaraisa aser lishtamish be'esh Muksa b'yomtev. The Isser is using, getting used out of the Muksa objects. That's the opinion of Rashi. And the Magen Avraham, however, says, no, the Isser Muksa takes place once you start eating it. At least in the case, not every Muksa has to do with eating, but at least in this particular case, when Muksa is used to help something cook, the Isser Muksa will take place once you start eating the food that was generated from the Davar Hashem Muksa. That's when the Isser Muksa kicks in. Okay, so we'll stop here a little bit earlier in terms of the daf, because this daf goes well into the next daf, but it's going to reject the concept that we already know, that Muksa, in fact, is not a din deraisa, it's actually a din derabanan. Right.